Time to welcome in our district attorney. He is Hiller Moore, visits with us every month for a little segment we call On the Air with Hiller Moore. District Attorney Moore, good morning. Welcome back. How are you, sir?
I'm glad to be here, man. How you doing? No,
glad to have you. You say you're glad to be here. Just wait. I'm doing well as well. We're going to get into some of the numbers for East Baton Rouge, where we're at with our homicide rate, where we're at with a number of different crimes. But before any of that, I would be remiss if I didn't start with the news of the day. It was announced yesterday that Judge Ebony Johnson Rose being booted from the bench, basically, pending, you know, further investigation and whatnot. I want to start basically with your reaction to the news, and then we'll get into what procedurally we look at moving forward.
I'm pretty much surprised just by the news yesterday. Obviously, the Supreme Court had been working on it for some time. Mm-hmm. They wrote an opinion. It was two dissents, but kind of surprised, just somewhat in the middle of court. She had court yesterday. Mm-hmm. She had a really big plea and sentencing that she handled, and I think she had a arson trial earlier in the week that actually resulted in a plea that had been in the news for some time. So she had a regular docket going, and then I saw the news. I read it on the news that it happened. So at that point, basically, it's scrambling to find a judge to replace her for the immediate future, like this week, because mm-hmm. there's a docket as people come into court that you have to take care of that. And the Supreme Court, I think, found someone that someone's in place for the week.
Okay.
Just for this week.
For this week.
Then after that, you're going to have to talk about a long term, because we have another judge who's out right now, and we have a judge that's filling in for him. So that's, you know, the pool's shallow.
Well, yeah, right? And we do have a backlog. We have had a backlog. I don't know if there ever won't be this thick backlog. So being down a judge is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it appears as if the Supreme Court, they're well aware of that, and they are searching for a judge. They may have had one by now. Mm-hmm. And actually, Judge Johnson Rose actually converted a lot of her weeks, of misdemeanor weeks, to trial weeks. So that section, she's trying to move the cases. That section is busy mm-hmm. with trials. So, yeah, it's imperative that we have a judge that will come in and handle it until it's resolved.
She, Judge Johnson Rose, I mean, let's talk about separating the professional from the personal.
Yeah.
Because you've got a job to do as district attorney, and that means that having an active working court that runs on all cylinders, right?
Yeah.
At the same time, though, Judge Johnson Rose has called you a number of names in the past. How do you work through separating the professional from the personal here?
You know, you have to move on. This is about business and public safety. You can't let those other things really get in the way. It is what it is, and you just try to handle them as you go along.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people are people, so regardless of who they are. But we have work to do. You can't let that stuff get in the way. You can pause and deal with it and then move on.
Fair enough. He is District Attorney Hiller Moore. We will move on because we got a lot to talk about here, but there's no way that you know, we don't at least address the elephant in the room, as it were. All right, moving forward here, can we start with homicide numbers? Because I know it's a check in every single time, and unless things are on a downward trend, it's always going to be a battle. Where are we at right now?
So, you know, unfortunately, as we discussed several months in a row, the numbers began early on in this year just incredibly high compared to the last year. Mm-hmm. We were running at 50% above early months. Now we're at 10% above last year. So we've evened off as we thought we would.
Yeah.
And now we're in a stretch of the summertime, although school's back, you know, it's hot. Last year in August, we only had two homicides, and then September and October, four each one of those months. And that's not typical. Those months have normally 8 to 10 per month. So replicating last year's hot summer months mm-hmm. is going to be difficult. And then so far in August, we have one.
Right.
So we are maybe replicating that. So there's, in my opinion, still a chance that we could end up less than last year or even. I showed you the numbers of November, December last year, 12 homicides each. That's yes. crazy to hear that that's the winter months that normally you would think they're much more quiet.
Mm-hmm.
However, recent years, they've been higher, and hopefully we can do something about those 2 months.
Well, and it was such an anomaly because, and I hate to oversimplify it, but traditionally in Baton Rouge, the summer months are the homicides and the winter months are the property crimes.
Yes.
I mean, that's just that's the way that the raw numbers play out. But, yeah, to have 12 homicides apiece, right?
Yes. And I think we're also seeing that in those 2 months, November, December, you have Thanksgiving, you have Christmas, you have people that are out there partying more because of holidays. They're together, maybe drinking drugs and guns, and it generally those don't go together too well.
No.
So we really need to keep an eye on that. But hopefully we're trending in the right direction for that.
How much can we actually extrapolate as to where we are, like as a city or as a city parish, where we are based off of just the homicide numbers? Because I feel like a lot of emphasis is put on it, but it doesn't tell the whole story.
No, the biggest story is non-fatal shootings, as you and I have talked about. Not a good doctor, bad doctor, you close to a hospital or not, that does determine a lot whether someone dies, and it's a homicide versus a non-fatal shooting.
Right.
And so non-fatals are you miss someone or it's a bullet to a body. That's the bigger telltale number. Right now, it's unusual that right now we are, of shots fired and non-fatals, we're 10 to 13% up. It mimics the homicide rate.
Okay, so
normally it's not hand-in-hand like that, but this year it has been.
Well, yeah, and the reason you want to look at those numbers is simple. Is you don't want your level of safety valued based off of how good of an aim someone is.
Or bad, or the caliber of weapon that they're using and medical attention. Yeah, so that is the telltale sign for all cities should be.
Mm-hmm.
But, Brian, you know, the last year we're at 102, the year before 112. But if you look at the years of 2013 and the 4 years in between there, we're in the 60s.
Right.
And, boy, that would be a good number to be. But Baton Rouge, a city our size, should be at 40.
We
should be at 40. But our best years ever have been in the 60s. And that means it would be a damn near 50% reduction, 40% reduction.
Yeah.
And we need to get there for a city our size. We have to get past whatever we have historically going on here to get to that. And it's just, we have to get there.
So in getting us there, though, in working towards that, I mean, is it just, do we need more of the same tactics, just used better, or you know,
that's a good question, but I don't know if you saw the article about Boston.
No.
Boston this year is on 3 to 5 homicides through the year.
Wait.
Yes. So I spoke with the district attorney in Boston. He's a fairly new district attorney, although he's been around. He credits it to decades of work to get toward that number. And not only just enforcement, police enforcement, but a ton of programs that reach out to the youth and the kids and parents to get to them before they get to the spot of, I have a gun and I'm going to shoot someone. He says it's not overnight, and we'd like to maybe take a trip there to see what their infrastructure is,
mm-hmm.
and how are they dealing with all of these different companies and entities that deal with kids in crisis. And he believes that's the only reason that they got there is because of all of those things together.
But
that number is, when I saw the article, I thought it was an error, and I called, and a nice gentleman, he said, no, that is our number.
Well, yeah, and Boston is one of the top 10 markets in the country. I mean, that's a big city.
And it started with, years ago, David Kennedy, who we model our Brave and Truce model over, he started the Boston Miracle way back 20 years ago, where he started the movement there, and now it's finally come to where it's 3. And you have to follow that model. You have to fund it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the personnel to it. You can't change it because a mayor changes or a DA changes. It's got to be consistent, which is hard to do.
Well, and that is the hardest part, because the results you're looking for, and we talk about this on a crime level. We can talk about this on an educational level. The results you're looking for, it's going to take longer than a news cycle and longer than an election cycle in order to get those results. So when it comes to any elected office, whether you're talking about mayor or state legislature or whatever, any elected office, they can't run on it. They can't run for re-election on it because they haven't seen results from it yet. And we have a tendency to trend towards the negative as consumers of news. So when you have an outreach event, and you know it could be easily labeled, oh, it's just feel-good stuff. No, you got to let it soak in. You got to let it take.
So then, David Kennedy told us this a long time ago. If it's not built into the DNA of your organizational structure,
mm-hmm.
then it's not going to last. So it has to be in every form of government we have. That's got to be in there. That someone wakes up that morning, this is my job. It's not going to change depending on who your boss is. It's going to be that model that you're going to follow and stick with it until it doesn't work.
See, and once again, the hard part is whoever's running against that person is going to run on a different idea, which means that the ship changes course.
Yes, and so it is politics does get in the way of that, but it's basic stuff that we're still fighting with that we cannot get over, and it's how do you not kill and get that number down from historical numbers? It should be an easy solution, but it's really been elusive.
One would think. Just don't kill people. That's all we're asking. Just don't kill people. That seems like a pretty simple ask. We got to pivot real quick. I do want to talk about Afghanistan if we have time.
Yeah.
But before that, the next time we meet, you will have had a fundraiser for the Family Justice Center.
Yes.
So while we can still promote it ahead of time, tell me all about it.
Yeah, so it's called Defeat with the emphasis on eat. We have several different restaurants that are going to cook their specialty dinners. It's going to be held at the Renaissance Hotel August 29th from 6 to 9. We have a ton of silent auction items that people that come will be able to actually bid on and walk away with a prize. It's not going to be one where it's cost prohibitive. Mm-hmm. And so we made it, designed it that way. So we're looking for folks to sponsor, buy tables, buy tickets, come to the event. And we have two MCs, Miss Donna Siraj and Miss Rose Hudson.
Oh, fantastic.
Both BR.
Okay.
And then Brandy from Channel 2 will be actually the MC. So it's going to be a good event, and we will have a lady from Baton Rouge who was nearly killed by her husband years ago, who was convicted. She's also been on the national level with guns and domestic violence, that she'll be our guest kind of speaker, mm-hmm. and she'll put a face to the issue that we have with domestic violence. But right now, Family Justice Centers, the money is through the criminal justice reform, and that money is going away.
Okay.
Oh, so we need funds.
Okay. Yeah, big time. As just kind of a reminder, the mission of the Family Justice Center is what?
It's to serve all of the capital areas, cities and parishes, mm-hmm. and assisting them with domestic violence victims and trafficked victims. And so they have a big job.
Yeah.
They have a big job.
Yeah, a mission that continues to grow, to be sure. Where can folks go if they want to help out?
They can go to the DA's office site, or they can call me or my office, or the Family Justice Center. Mm-hmm. It's called the Capital Area Family Justice Center. And I'll send you the link. We can also put it on your site.
Absolutely. In fact, once this is posted up on demand, we will include that link there as well. Can we get an update on Afghanistan in 45 seconds?
Yeah, we're we have another fundraiser September 26th, where we have a former Marine who rescued 10,000 Afghan interpreters that is coming to Baton Rouge. He's actually born and raised in Louisiana. And he's going to put a focus on what we need to now get the prosecutors and the judges back who are being killed, that we are in constant communication with, that Taliban is now seeking them out to kill them because they prosecuted Taliban members.
Yeah, this is a story where we have a very, very real opportunity to right a wrong. When we got out of Afghanistan, I know there's been a lot of political talk about it, but on the ground, we did a big thing badly.
Very quickly, too, and which we didn't plan to rescue our interpreters who stood by us, side by side with our military folks, and then others that were in the court system prosecuting those that the military brought to them.
Yeah, you can't ask a populace to step up and punish bad guys, and then when you leave, the bad guys take over, and that leaves them literally in the crosshairs.
And not with the promise of no man left behind, which is our motto of our country, and that's what we all stand behind. We need to support that.
He is District Attorney Hiller Moore. We always appreciate the time,
yes, sir.
Sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.